Well, when they're thinking about research, you brought up competitive research and looking at reviews. Amazon sellers should be doing that. I think a lot of them do. But then you've brought up all these other areas where you can easily find more than what your competitor is going to do. Hey everyone, this is Norm Ferrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. Today, it's a pre-record, but we've got something really special for you. We're going to be talking about how to read the minds of your customers and understand why they buy. Kind of important. So we're also going to be talking about target market research and why that's important. What are the three ways to do research and how to turn top promoters into testimonial videos. So welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. As I mentioned, today we're going to be talking about how to read the minds of your customers and understand why they buy. I met our guest, and she's a first-time guest, at an event, the M3 event. I think it was around 6 months ago, and she blew me away with her presentation. So I've been trying to get her on the podcast, and she finally agreed. Well, she'll probably say she never got the emails. But anyway, we got her. You got to listen to this lady. She knows it all when it comes down. Well, her company name is called Persuasion Experience, and she's all about that. So our guest today is the founder of Persuasion Experience. She specializes in a post-click experience. She has launched 500 plus funnels across 120 niches and built three marketing teams from scratch in companies King Kong. Not quite yet, but our first time guest is Alicia Conlon Hurd, and you want to tune into this one. But first, let's have a word from our sponsor. Facing cash flow challenges with your e-commerce business? Discover Viably, your ultimate financial ally. From real-time sales data integrations to immediate funding access, Viably is here to support you. Plan your growth with their free tool for online sellers and engage with specialists whenever you need. Extend your cash flow with Viably. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy this episode. Unfortunately, I don't have any Coke Zero today. I'm stuck with Pepsi. But welcome, Alicia.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Norm.
Oh, very welcome. So it's been a while since I've tried to get you on, and I know it's been probably my email, probably Kelsey. Kelsey probably didn't send you the emails, but I'm so glad that you're on. I want to just, and I don't do this a lot, but can you give us a bit more background? Like, your background is incredible.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very kind. I can give a very quick origin or story summary for people to understand how I got to this podcast today, one of the highlights of my year for sure. So, and I never got your email, Norm. I don't believe you ever sent it. But anyway, back to the
origin. That's on Kelsey.
Kelsey. So for me, my career very much started in sales, cold calling and telco sales, agency sales, the stuff that really puts hairs on your chest, not on my beard. So unfortunately, I didn't have my best beard to match you up today, Mom. But eventually then I ended up in a company called King Kong, and they're a big agency here in Melbourne. And I was one of their first employees and built out their sales funnel and conversion rate optimization team. So anything that wasn't traffic, everything that converted traffic, I took care of. By the time I left there, I'd done like 400 funnels, landing pages, offers, everything from Brazilian butt lift doctors, porn addiction counselors, quit smoking hypnotists to the normal end of the spectrum, a lot of e-commerce brands, full website builds, billion-dollar home builders, and everything in between. After that, I went and worked at Founder, building out seven- and eight-figure funnels for info products. And then eventually, I was ready to take the next step in what I call Operation Freedom, and we started Persuasion Experience about 2 years ago. So that's a bit of an overview on the background.
And your company, it's not dealing with new sellers. You've got some huge customers. or huge clients. You want to just talk about a couple of the clients that you work with?
Yes. So we are predominantly a lead generation agency, and we work with big billion-dollar brands like Linktree, Kogan, which is a huge online retailer, Wayflyer. And then we work with a lot of e-commerce brands who are trying to build their B2B and wholesaling. So they've already got D2C down pat, and they're trying to figure out, what's this lead generation game? How do we actually bring in people for that part of the business?
I have to talk to you after this podcast because I have a lead for you. So yes. So I'll provide this lead. I think you're going to love it. So now let's get in to the roots of this, and let's talk about market research and why targeting market research is so important. And, you know, ad ideas, split testing, all that good stuff.
Okay. So before anybody switches off and rolls their eyeballs and doesn't want to have a conversation about research, because it can be very unsexy, right? It's like, meh, boring. I don't want to do that. But the thing about research is it's just making sure that you have the right foundations for your marketing. So when we talk about marketing, we have research, strategy, and then execution. But what a lot of brands get wrong is they're going straight into execution, right? But it's garbage in, garbage out. And so if you don't put in the right research, and if you don't truly understand who your target market is or why they buy, which is what I want to help people to learn today, how to read their minds and clone your customers, it makes your marketing very, very hard. So that's what I want to go over today, is some of the ways that you can make research easy. And what is sexy is making more money. And this is what it'll unlock for people listening.
All right. Very good. So I'm going to throw that back at you. Where would you like to start on this venture?
So where would I like to start? We can talk about, I think, how to get started with research. Because one of the biggest questions that I get is, well, how can I do it? I don't have a big data analytics team, especially a lot of brands. It's usually the founder doing everything. And that can be doing everything up until the 200K mark plus, right, a month. Like, the founders are always very hands-on in the marketing. And so it's really important to find time for research. But how do we do that? Well, there's three ways that you can implement that today. And I'm going to go through them. The very first process, which makes it feel like you can read the minds of your customers, is our survey process. And again, now everybody's going to roll their eyes and say surveys don't work. So let's talk about how to make them work, because I make these work in insurance. I make these work in any boring industry you can imagine, and we get hundreds of responses. So when we're creating our surveys, what we're trying to uncover here is why do people buy? And what we're going to do is we're going to take that qualitative data and be able to use it in our ads. It's going to give us new ad angles and creative ideas. It's going to give us split test ideas. It's going to give us product improvement ideas, and it's going to put the marketing on easy mode. So when we do our surveys, you're going to create a list or a segment of customers, and you're going to make this also an NPS survey, so net promoter score. But most importantly, at the start of this survey is the qualitative data, the more long form, open-ended questions. And so if anyone's just getting started, here's three questions that you can get started with. The first one is the problem. So it might be, what are your three biggest concerns right now when it comes to blah, like what you do? So we've done this in the pet food industry. What are your three biggest concerns right now or problems when it comes to buying pet food for your, like your pet? So that's the first question. The next one is, you can have a goal question when it comes to, what is your biggest goal right now when it comes to finding pet food for your dog? Insert the thing that you do for your customers. And then you can have a friction question. Thinking back to when you were considering us, what were the biggest questions or concerns before working with us? Other questions are like, what have you tried before? And my personal favorite question is, how would you explain company name to a friend or colleague? Because that gives you what you need to know. On the back end of those questions, you have your NPS score. So you'll say, hey, what would you score our company out of 10? And then you ask the reason for the score. So those are the questions. Right now, people are thinking, how the hell am I going to get people, my customers, to actually respond to this? And the answer is, you ethically bribe them. because that is the answer. You incentivize it. So some of our clients, they will do a $100 or $200 gift card, you know, and one of the responses will get it. Some in e-commerce will give a $10 or $20 gift card to the store. And that's great. Now, the great thing is you can duplicate this survey and use it for non-customers. So everybody on your list who never bought. And that's the first part of the survey process.
So I'm kind of curious, with these surveys, could you job this out to just a call center? Just a call it could be both. It could be customers, repeat customers, or people that never heard of you.
Yes. So you can definitely segment your list to get different data insights. But what we're ultimately looking to find is the language of our target market, of our customers, of our best customers. And then we want to take that language and be able to put it into our marketing assets, because the company who can speak the target market's language and the company who can describe the problem the best will always win. And the only way to do that is by when you make your landing pages, your sales pages, which is your digital salesperson, it needs to feel like you've ripped a page out of their diary. And it's like, how did you know that? And that's the whole point of this process, of this learn to read minds process, is you're looking for those inputs, right? Inputs, outputs, outcomes, garbage in, garbage out. The research phase is how we make sure we're not putting garbage into our marketing machine.
Yeah, I can just imagine if you're just generally shotgun, if it's a shotgun approach, then you could just waste a ton of money and time on the wrong audience.
Yeah, exactly. And it takes the guesswork out of it, right? So a lot of e-commerce brands, they're really obsessed with their product, which means they can get really obsessed with the features of it, or this like cool new little thing that they've injected, or they're really obsessed with the brand. But really what we're looking to do here is to understand the benefit, the big problem. We call it the big ass problem, the BAP. What's the big ass problem? Every business just gets paid to solve a problem. Or what is the status? What's the identity that we sell? And then how do we take those features, turn them into benefits? And then how do we contextualize the benefits? And contextualizing the benefits means putting it into their day-to-day life. So with the pet food, it might be the feature is it's made with 100% whole foods. The benefit of that is that your dog is going to be more healthy. The contextualized benefit is your dog is going to have more energy for your walks and is going to be happier and is going to live longer. So that's kind of like helping to bring the whole part of it together.
All right. Okay. So what is the next, after surveys, what else can people do?
So the next part is what I call, the second step is what I call reading their journals, but you don't have to sneak into their bedroom and try and find their diary, because everybody is online pouring out their hopes and dreams and fears on these different platforms, right? So you can go to Quora. That's great. You can go to Reddit. There's always a subreddit about everything. So there might not be one directly about your exact product niche, but there would be about the problem people are trying to solve. So to keep using the pet food, there would be Reddit threads on pets and how to keep pets healthy and how to like recipes to feed your dog to achieve this thing, reading that data. Additionally, you can go to things like Amazon Books and you can read the reviews on the Amazon Books. So find Amazon Books in your niche and read through them. You can go to Trustpilot, obviously read your own reviews and you can create word clouds from them, but then you can go to your competitor reviews. What do they say is crap? What are the 1-star reviews? What are the 5-star reviews saying? What's the language that your target market's using? Or you can use the second most powerful search engine, right? YouTube. And you can go and type in and then YouTube will give you suggested keywords. And so, for example, I'll just keep using this pet food ideas. And then YouTube's going to tell you all of the different things that people are searching. Then you can look at the top performing organic social, and then you can read the comments on there. And these are really, really invaluable qualitative data insights to make sure that when you write the copy of your landing page, you're going to get the language correct. You're going to actually be speaking in the language of the target market, because the goal here is to enter the bullseye. Into the conversation going on in their head. If we try and tell them what they need to hear, instead of what they want to hear at this stage, there's going to be a disconnect because we're not going to be talking their language. We're not entering the conversation. And as a very quick bonus one on this, it doesn't work for every industry, but when it works for my clients, I get very excited. So what you do is you go to Google and you type in your the problem you solve, the dream outcome, the industry niche, whatever market. And then you type in stand-up comedy. And then there's typically comedians who have practiced to see what a human reaction will be with their material. And then you can just tap into their homework, right? Steal their homework and see what they are using as material and use it on ads or use it on landing pages.
That's a great idea. I've never thought about that. That's a super idea.
Yeah. And it doesn't work for everything, but if it does, and it would work for dog food, I already know that. This dog food stand-up comedy. And they've already they go and practice their material dozens of hours. Like, just take what's working.
Yeah, it's so important to know that language. And you can tell if you're just going through a blog or, you know, you go to an e-commerce site and they have a blog, you just read it. If you're in that niche, you know whether or not this has just been generated by ChatGPT or somebody who knows nothing. And then when you do find it, because just an example in scuba diving. So Stephen Black came on, he's a great guy. Stephen Black came on and he was talking about something similar and this specific type of scuba diving. And he said, here's an example. He was showing, just talking about different words, different phrases that these scuba divers were using. And he just highlighted it on a listing and went, this company knows what they're talking about. This company doesn't. And psychologically, if you're a scuba diver that does, let's say, deep sea diving, guess who you're going to go to? So it's all psychological. Yeah, it's fantastic. Good information.
Yeah, that's funny, right? Because most brands do it. They might farm out. And like what I'm telling you is going to work for your SEO blogs. I'm talking about ads and landing pages because I work in predominantly paid performance, but it's going to work for the content, your social media content. And we do these systems to help run our own business, to come up with product ideas, because we do a lot of info products, to come up with our next social media posts, because all we're trying to do is figure out what's valuable. And that's what a lot of people miss, right? They kind of forget that the whole point you have a business is to serve somebody and to make their life better. So you have to be obsessed with them. And even if you sell a $5 gadget, you still do that to some extent. Or if you sell a $20,000 zero gravity armchair, which is something that I've worked on in e-commerce, and if you sell a $10 doohickey, it doesn't matter. You still serve somebody and you've got to figure out why they buy from you.
Right. You've got to become the expert. So I like that. I really like what you're talking about. excuse me. There's a lot of people don't do when they're thinking about research. You brought up competitive research and looking at reviews. Amazon sellers should be doing that. I think a lot of them do. But then you've brought up all these other areas where you can easily find more than what your competitor is going to do. And if you want to do that, have that competitive advantage, just here's one up on them. Just list what you just talked about and there's your one up.
Exactly. And I can guarantee your competitors aren't doing this. So right. I've launched like 600 campaigns for different companies, coached hundreds or more. Like I've just seen inside thousands of businesses and I know pretty much none of them do this. And so just for you to do this, you have better data so you can make better decisions. And the way I think about it is that success leaves clues, right? So think of Jeff Bezos, think of Tony Robbins, think of Ryan Dice, or think of Richard Branson, anyone, Elon Musk, anyone that you look up to in the industry, they don't wing it. They don't wake up and go, gee whiz, I wonder what my target market wants. I wonder how we can market this. No, they're spending millions of dollars on these insights. And so what I'm giving you is the freeway to get similar insights that they're using to make decisions. Because that's the whole point. As a business owner, as a brand, you need to make good decisions. And you can only do that with good data. Your decisions are only as good as the data you have. And qualitative data, which comes from research, is a type of data. So hopefully I'm brainwashing people and forcing them to drink some Kool-Aid on research here, but I can't understate this. I've done hundreds of campaigns. Anytime that my campaign hasn't worked, I've cooked the research. I've done a bad job, which means that I did a bad job of the strategy, which means the execution. Doesn't matter how pretty the page is, I didn't research properly.
Very good. And now what's the third, you talk about surveys, you've talked about third-party research, and what's the third part?
The third part is the feedback loops within your company. So in brands or any business, you have people on the front lines speaking with your customers or people who are on the precipice of becoming a customer, and they're going to know what those friction points are. So this could be your sales team. This could be your customer support. This could be account managers. Companies call them different things, but these are people who have direct access to the people who buy from you, and they hear their language every single day. And so what a lot of brands can do is just start to create a report from customer support that categorizes the top questions before somebody buys, and then categorizes the top questions after somebody buys. And that's data. And how do you use that data? So your landing page, your sales page is a salesperson. That salesperson has to remove friction and overcome objections. Great. Now you go and read that data. What were the main questions people had? And when we answered them, they bought. Cool. Well, that needs to be reflected on the page now. Can we do that through product photography? Can we do that through better product infographics, breaking down how the product is made and what goes into the product? Can we do that through video? Can we do that through FAQs? And then if you keep that iterative process going, your landing page will convert more and more. And so the thing is, your traffic is worthless unless it converts. So the goal here is, imagine if we can get your landing pages or your product pages from under 1% to 1% to 3% to 5% because they become a more strongly trained digital salesperson.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. I would love to have a digital salesperson. Kels?
I'll take maybe five. Thanks, Kelsey.
All right. There we go. Let me see. We are close to the bottom of the hour. Wow, I don't know what's happened to my voice. Maybe too many cigars lately. But we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, well, we have something a little bit different at the end of the podcast called The Wheel of Kelsey. And that's where we give away a prize. Now, if you want to have access to that prize, you got to do one of two things. You can either hashtag Wheel of Kelsey or tag two people and you'll get a second entry. Now, there's a blooper for you, Kels. Now, let's try this again. Alicia, what is the prize today?
So, Norm, I'm so glad you asked. The prize today is that one lucky winner who participates in the Wheel of Kelsey will get to work with myself totally free, pitch free. It'll just be a big value session, 30 minutes, where we work on, if you'd like to, your research systems, but very much I want to work with you on your landing pages and how we can take them, their conversion rate, and turn it into an even more powerful digital salesperson. So we're going to work on how we can convert more of your traffic into a high converting landing page and get more people to check out and increase your AOV.
All right. That is priceless. If you get to work with an expert like Alicia, I would do it all day long. So that would be a 30-minute consult. All you need to do, hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, take two people, you get a second entry. And now let's have a word from our sponsor. This episode of Lunch with Norm is sponsored by VAA Philippines. Looking for a high-quality virtual assistant for your business? With the rigorous screening, intensive Amazon and Walmart training, and ongoing professional development, get the peace of mind with skill and motivated virtual assistants for a long-term working relationship. Hire through VAA today, and now let's get back to the show. All right, we're back. And now that you've talked about the three different types of research, can the average seller put it all together, or should they be outsourcing this?
For this, I mean, it can depend on the stage of your business and how much budget you have to put behind it, right? My recommendation is that if you're a business owner, you want to see all of this data. You should be in the weeds understanding it because it's going to impact every single decision you're going to have. Now, of course, you can outsource a lot of the grunt work or you can use AI to help you. And my disclaimer is AI won't save your business. It's not a life raft. It's rocket fuel. So if you don't know how to do this, if you don't understand your market, AI is not going to give you the best inputs, but you can speed it up. So that's the long answer. The short answer is I personally do it myself because then all of that data goes into my brain and then I understand my target market and then I can make better decisions to serve them.
All right. Very good. And, you know, here's an example that I had. I sell soap, so some beauty products, but just doing some very minimal market research, I was targeting the wrong audience. My ads were completely using the wrong colors, just the language. What I found out is, and there's more to it than this, but I was targeting women. And the experience, a spa-like experience, or giving it to their daughter when they went to university or stuff like this. It was all men. The high majority of products that I sold were men. And I completely missed the boat. And then we did a study and we found out that it was, middle-aged men that bought the product, mostly for their girlfriends or wives.
So, very interesting.
That's
happened a lot. Yeah.
Has it? Yeah.
Yeah. With our e-commerce clients where we do the survey process and the third party research and the feedback loops, and there's this big market they're ignoring and they didn't realize a lot of their revenue is being generated by gifts. And now you go and look at their navigation on their website and there's nothing about gifts. There's no bundling. There's no helping them, right? But then they figured this out and they started to say, okay, people are buying gifts for these four occasions. Those need to be categories on our stores now. And then that was a huge chunk of revenue. It's happened many times that they've been able to unlock. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So just, you know, one little thing and just going back to research. Okay. So again, let's just go through, once you have this research, you spent a lot of time, you've got your market down, then what are the next steps?
So the next steps, once you have research, is to move it into strategy, right? And strategy can vary because strategy can be at the very top. What is your marketing game plan? What channels are you going to go on? Because this is going to tell you, where are your target market hanging out? Where are your competitors? Is there a gap where your target market is and your competitors aren't that you can start going to? And then once you've done strategy, you can do execution. But I think there's too much that falls into all of that because that's a bit like getting tactical. But the most exciting way that you can use that survey process and take it to the next level is that when you've done the survey, you're going to get NPS responses, net promoter scores, and that's going to be out of 10. So you're going to have a big chunk of people, hopefully, if you have a good brand, who respond with a 9 or a 10. So now the next step of the process comes in and we ask those people for video testimonials. And then a lot of them will just give them because they're big promoters of your brand. So you can do that via interview, which is the preferred way because then you can ask better questions, or you can use a tool like, I think there's one called Video Ask or Social Juice, and people can record them. Now that's nice, but what do we do with those? Well, then we've just built a testimonial machine for our ads and for our page. And so not all testimonials are created equal, but out of that, you should get 1 to 5 great video testimonials where it shows the before stage, what they tried before, their hesitations and their outcome. What was the dream outcome from your product? And then you can start putting them into your ads and testing them out on the ad level. And that's the three components of that survey process. Then you run it quarterly or more often, depending on your brand. And then you just have a constant stream of information that's going to help you with split tests, with ad ideas, content ideas from the survey. Then you're going to have a constant stream of video testimonials coming in. And then you have your ad machine built where you just are constantly testing out these testimonials to see what's going to convert for your paid media as well.
These testimonials that you're getting, so you're getting you're getting information back from the research. You're just reaching out through email. How are you reaching out to these people to promote or provide testimonials?
Yeah, just via email. And then you can collect the responses through something. We use something called Formaloo, but you can use Typeform, SurveyMonkey, mm-hmm. whatever collects the responses.
And at any time, are you also implementing this with your client base? So you find that you have a repeat customer. Are you reaching out to that person as well?
If they're repeating, yes. So that's how you can like segment the list, because a repeat purchaser is the more customers you want to find. So what you might do is segment the list, and then you might notice discrepancies in what makes a repeat purchaser and what makes a single purchaser. What do they enjoy about the brand? And then do you know what you're going to do? What they say in the language for the repeat purchasers, that's going to go back more into your marketing. If that fulfills your business's goals, right? You're going to want to attract more of them because they're a higher lifetime value customer.
Okay. So we've just earlier today, I've been talking to some influencers or actually it was a TikTok shop. It was all about TikTok shop. But over the last couple of months, we've been talking about people seeing how we could leverage them, influencers, how to find influencers, how to leverage the influencers. Now you're talking about testimonials. Can you use a variety of different influencers in this funnel that you're building?
Yes. So what I'm talking about is generating more UGC content. Yeah. And then I would categorize influencer stuff different, because that's like more of your influencer marketing. And then I would categorize AGC or your actor generated content different as well. So this won't necessarily build out your influencer funnel, but what clients have done is when they do go through their customer lists and they can find people in there where they're like, oh, that's interesting, it's that person, and it never hurts to reach out and ask them if they're interested in doing a testimonial.
Okay. Yeah, I've just seen just different pages and they just load up. Sometimes I think it's just way too much, but I've just seen that model and just wondering if that was something that you would encourage.
Yeah, it's it comes down to your market, right? And different markets respond to different things, but typically proof is going to remove friction. But if it feels unnatural or if it feels like too much, it can like backfire as well. So it's hard to know because it's so, and it's like such a marketer response, right? It depends, but it really depends. And this is why it's so important to understand your market and why they buy. That's the whole point of this exercise, the research. Why do they buy, and how do I can and clone that experience on my product pages and on my website?
Oh, very good. So now that we've got this, the next step in the process.
So the next step after you've got all of this is to keep doing it and to not stop doing it, right? Everyone's always like, what's the new thing? What's the next thing? Well, this is a flywheel. You just keep going and then you optimize the process. We call it postmortem. Look at the process. Is it giving you the data that you need? If not, figure out something new, or how do you patch it up, or how do you evolve the process? So once you install this in the company, don't stop doing it, because one day you'll look back and go, oh, we used to do that research thing. Why did we stop? Yeah. So we want to like make this a cadence, a process, and then you just constantly optimize it and find efficiencies and automations in it as well.
All right. So surveys, third-party research, feedback loops, reach out to different promoters to help with testimonial videos, and then you want to rinse and repeat. And that's the formula.
Yes. And it sounds basic, because it is. It's. I know there's lots of shiny, exciting hacks and tactics on e-com and in TikTok and Snapchat and all these things. I'm talking about human psychology. This is the thing that will never change. Your media platforms are going to change. The ad platforms, everything, that's always going to change. The thing that won't change is how people are hardwired to purchase. And it's the thing that people forget because they get so obsessed with the ad hacks and whatever, right? But if you can nail this in your company, this is how you build an empire. If you can unpack this, this is how you build a real business.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, as you say, the owner, founder, jump in the weeds. Once you understand that, I would love to be able to create a process, just a bunch of SOPs that I could train somebody that could go out there on a regular basis. If it's quarterly, make it quarterly. And they do, you know, we just have a system where it's, we always provide surveys. We're always doing that third party research and we do feedback loops. And that would just, like you say, it's a flywheel. And it sounds so simple, like you say, but I talk about old school marketing, stuff that I used to do 30 years ago. You're probably not even 30, but way before you were born, way, way, way in a galaxy far beyond whatever that is. But I used to do I used to do blog content. I used to do like written content. Press releases were huge. These are things to help build a brand's authority. And we still use them in product launches on Amazon today. And it doesn't have to be that next shiny object. You could just use old traditional marketing to help build the authority. And in this case, you know, just doing what you're doing to help keep you one step, two step, three steps ahead of the competitors. Such a cool process. Thank you.
I'm happy to share it. And if anybody does launch it or they get stuck, feel free to reach out to me on social media, because if you're getting your research system set up, I'm always very excited to talk about it. So again, not many people are going to do this. Your competitors almost certainly don't. It's the thing that will build your business. It's the thing that will get you to multiple millions of dollars. It's just a fact. I can't be debated on it. It just is what it is. And you'll either spend the time to make it work, or you'll become another statistic of a failed business who goes under because another competitor has entered the market and understands the target market better and does better tactics than you.
And Alicia, this works with pretty much every niche, wouldn't it?
Yep. Brazilian butt lift doctors, porn addiction counselors, home builders, anything, definitely. Because why? Because it's just human psychology. That's all it is. It's persuasion. And everybody is still wired like they were 100 or 1,000 years ago. And we're going to be wired this way for 100 more, right? So it's never going to change. If you can understand these things, it's going to make your business and your marketing so much easier.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Is there anything else that you want to discuss? Questions, comments?
If people do this, I'll be pretty pumped. If people are installing research systems, because it's so unsexy, and I'm not talking about TikTok hacks and hooks and blah, 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 but this is how you make your life easy. And I'll just leave it on that.
Kelsey, I think we'll probably have to have a new sub group under market research. That would be something. This is so important what you're talking about. I always talk about perception and how you can double, triple, quadruple your profits in a couple of steps, and people never do it. They just don't believe it. And it's true, you can. Just do this and you'll do it. And I would love to be able to go back to Alicia and say, we've done it. And it's all because of this podcast. So thanks for coming on today. Any contact information that you'd like to talk to or provide us with?
The best way is to go onto my socials, YouTube. We give everything away for free, all videos, once or twice a week. So YouTube is under Alicia Conlon Hurd. Hard to spell. I'm sure it's somewhere on the screen. few letters going on in there. Also Instagram, if you want more of the behind the scenes, or LinkedIn, if you want slightly professional content. That's where I'm posting that. So any of those platforms is where I'm on.
All right. Very good. So we're going to go, I'm going to do a live read on from the sponsor, and we'll be right back with the Wheel of Kelsey. All right, here we go. This is about seller basics. Try this one more time. Okay. Hey, Amazon sellers, ever faced with account suspension, ASIN hiccups, or IP headaches? Introducing Seller Basics, your Amazon accounts guardian. With just $99 per month, or if you use Norm, the code Norm, you get it for $89 a month. Seller Basics provides or offers a dedicated team to shield your business from these challenges. Plus, this membership offers free legal consultations from seasoned e-commerce attorneys. No long-term contracts, cancel with just a month's notice. View Seller Basics as your Amazon account health plan. Check it out at sellerbasics.com. And now for the disclaimer. Seller Basics is not an insurer or law firm. Consultations come from independent firms. Results may vary. Membership is required before events leading to claims, and terms apply. So check out sellerbasics.com today. All right, we're back. Okay, Kelsey, it's that time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
It's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
All right. And at this point, somebody's won.
Yes. Yes. So we'll be reaching out to those winner during this live streaming. Live Kelsey will come in and sort that out. So congratulations to whoever that winner is. And thank you for entering.
All right. So we're going to remove you for about a minute. We're going to close off the podcast and we'll come right back to you. Want more great information? Don't forget to subscribe by clicking here. Also, if you want to check out our latest podcasts, click over here. Lunch with the Lunch.